guys. I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
I'm gonna hurt. Do not.
Like, I don't
know
if they're trying to get it to come out here or here.
Jesus. Mary. Joseph and all of his carpenter friends.
Hey guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, what am I going to say though?
Now y'all made me nervous.
It's going to be a time.
I'm a sensitive boy.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
Got the little frilly socks and everything.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. And welcome back to the Music List Podcast for season five. Episode one, season five.
Feels weird.
Yeah, I think we made it longer than Blossom. I don't know how many seasons of Blossom.
Random.
Where of all the shows?
I don't know. That was just one show that popped up into my mind. I was like, how many? I don't know. Well, somebody's going to have to Google that and see how many episodes of Blossom. But hey, it's season five. Are you Googling that right now to see?
Yeah. Right now. Carry on.
I could have picked, I guess, maybe a show that had a musical theme to it.
I think her dad was a musician.
I guess.
What was the Hannah Montana? I wonder how many seasons of Hannah Montana there were.
Probably more than five.
I don't know, because you couldn't be a kid very long.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. It was so big though.
It had five seasons.
Five seasons. So this is we will have as many seasons as
we
got
to make it to next year, so we can beat Blossom.
Well, yes, because you know. If you're keeping score at home, we are back-to-back world champions, best music podcast from the RCAST Awards, and so we got to win another one.
Yeah,
we got a three-peat.
Ooh, get out of my head.
Yeah, three-peat. You know, like MJ did twice. So great to be back. 2026, is that right? It's 2026.
Yeah.
It's you know, I'll be riding 2025 on everything until about March, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're into 2026, and not a lot's changed. You know, it's like, you know, when we were little kids, and you know, like they would have all these shows about the future, like 2025. People were like in flying cars and. You know, living like the Jetsons and whatnot. And now, no, it's pretty much like it was in 96, 97. I mean, not much has changed.
I don't know.
We got AI, I guess, is the big thing now. But, you know, the difference is we don't have a Walkman anymore. Mm-hmm. It's on our phone.
Everything's on our phone. That's the thing.
You know, or I guess the Discman was probably 97, not the Walkman. The Walkman was the 80s.
Do you remember trying to get onto the internet in 1996?
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. It would be great, a psyop, to put kids today on dial-up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. They'd lose their minds.
They would, what do you say, crash out.
Yeah, they would absolutely. Because, you know, like, I remember, like, pulling up. Like when fantasy football was online for the first time, you know, and all these great graphics, I'd be at school using the internet for fantasy football, and it would take so long for the page to load.
Oh, yeah.
Like line by line by line, and it was so frustrating. You know, you got a 48-minute class. It took 15 minutes for your page to download.
What class were you doing that in?
Oh, I would make something up and go to the library. I got to go research this, that, and the other. I was also student council secretary. So I would just say, I've got student council stuff I got to go do. I was working on my fantasy team 100%. So, but anyway, yeah, 2026, season five. And so back to back world champs. And we're going for the three-peat in 2026. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
And
that's
to beat the running, the series running time of Blossom.
Yeah.
Yes, and we've got it, which means we got to make it to 2027.
We will have arrived.
Yeah. So now Blossom is the one that she turned out to be like a scientist, right?
Yeah, like a neuroscientist, I think.
Oh, the actual actress?
Like, she's like a real, like the real deal. Did Jeopardy for a while? Maybe she still does Jeopardy?
Yeah, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, that went
left.
Weird. Yeah.
Big Bang Theory?
No.
I didn't watch it.
This conversation. Oh,
okay. It's all pop culture, right? So we're going to start off, you know, it's January.
Right.
It's cold. It's cold in January. And, you know,
sorry
for our Southern Hemisphere friends. Obviously it's summer there. So you will need to save this episode and listen to it in June. Right? Because it's summer in Australia. Not long ago, because, you know, like we had an 80-degree Christmas, which was really kind of weird. I mean, we've had warm Christmases before, but
shorts and t-shirts.
Like, like you could almost go swimming. I mean, it was warm. And somebody posted on Facebook, is it appropriate to wear shorts to Christmas if it's 80 degrees? And so I just looked up what Aussies wear to Christmas because I knew it was going to be 80 degrees in Australia, you know, because it's summer there. And, they wear shorts. They wear, like, sundresses, and it's really a weird kind of contrast to what we do in North America.
I wonder if they have totally different Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah, because Let It Snow doesn't resonate.
No.
In Sydney in December.
In a white Christmas.
Yeah. Maybe it's Let It Glow, Let It Glow, Let It Glow for the sun.
Okay.
So anyway, it's cold.
Yeah.
So it's cold. Burr, cold, December. And we are going to start off with the best songs that have to do with cold. We'll come up with a nifty little title later. But just know that everything has to be about something cold.
Is this like New Year, New Us? We're going to start doing fancy names to our podcast titles?
Maybe.
New Year, New Music List.
Just maybe. I'll be completely honest with you. We're going to try to work those algorithms a little bit. We're going to do some research on the algorithms. The format's going to stay the same. We may just tinker with the titles a little bit to see. Google may like some stuff better than others, and we'll just see how it rolled. We'll roll with it. We'll see how it does. But anyway, it's going to be cold stuff. We're talking about cold things. And what were the ground rules? We made some ground rules that it did not have to mention cold in the title. It did not, or
it could be cold adjacent.
Yes.
Cold adjacent, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Sort of. Like the word cold. It didn't have to be the word cold.
Right. So like you could use freeze. You could, and it didn't even have to be in the title, but the song had to be about cold.
So really, there's one rule, and there are really not a lot of rules.
We're stretchy.
Yeah.
Brr.
It's brr.
Yeah. So with that in mind, if you are joining us for the first time, then the way this operates is we're all going to draft three songs. That'll give us a total of 9 songs because 3 times 3 is 9. And then we're going to eliminate four of them, and we're going to go from
not changed in 2020.
We're going to go from 9 songs to 5 songs, and then we're going to try to rank those songs. That would be the 9 to 5 round, by the way. And then we're going to try to rank those songs, 1 through 5. Oh, and by the way, in case you haven't noticed, we are siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the stick.
There we go.
That's what we do. We had to get that in earlier in 2026. So when I did the draft randomizer, Beth got the first pick, then me, then Heather, and then we snake draft, which means Heather will draft first in the second round, Beth will draft last, but Beth will draft first in the third round, Heather will draft last. So first round, Beth, you get the first pick of the first episode of the new year. The first pick of Christmas. No, of 2026.
I picked Colder Weather by the Zac Brown Band.
She'd take Colorado if he'd take her with her. Closes the door before the winter lets the cold in. And wonders if her love is strong enough to make him stay. She's answered by the taillights shining through the window pane. He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Had a truck stop diner just outside.
This hit number one on the Hot Country charts. It made the top 10 on the Hot 100, which is not super common for country. So it was a crossover hit. Certified multi-platinum, won a Grammy and ACM for Song of the Year in 2011. And the thing I like about this song is, like, it wasn't a success because of any, like, trend or we're hopping on the bro country thing or whatever. It's just like really good storytelling and songwriting. And I think that's probably why it had crossover success, because it's just a good story and a good song. And the tension of the song is this guy calling, or, well, at the first he's at home with his partner, his girl, you know, his wife, whatever. And she's like, okay, I'd go if he'd let me go, but he's one of those people that's just kind of nomadic for whatever reason. Is that his job? Is that he just is one of those folks that can't stay in one place for a long time? I'd go with him, but he always leaves. He always seems to come back, but he always seems to leave again. And, you know, he'll always call and like, I'd love to see you, but, you know, like, what's your priority? Would you really rather be here, or would you rather be gone? Like, you're stuck in colder weather, but like, you didn't have to be. So she represents like stability and warmth, but he's restless both emotionally and geographically. And they're both just honest about who he is. Like, you're never going to change. And it's not like a thing of like, I'm almost done with this type deal. It's just like, that's just who you are. And they're both sort of resigned to it. So it resonates with anybody who I think has a job that has them traveling often, a musician, a truck driver, people who work for a corporate vendor or something like that, or people who just get up and go all the time. There are people like that. There's really no villain in the story. It's just honesty about the situation. And it reminds me of I Can Still Make Cheyenne by George Strait, except with that one, she's like, don't come home. I've had it. I've had enough. But this one at the end, they're like, he's like, I can't wait to see you. And she's like, me too. So like, it's just like, that's their life, which is almost like sadder, because you feel like neither of them really are that happy, but they're just going to stick with it. Musically, it uses a lot of suspended and unresolved chords throughout the song, which kind of mirrors that issue in the relationship. It's not, there's no ending. It's very conversational, not flashy, really intimate, and it lets the story do the work, and which feels personal and authentic. So it's cold, really actually cold, but also emotionally.
Well, I like when that there are still some country music artists that are telling stories, mm-hmm, and not just jumping on the arena bro country bandwagon, you know. And so we had who was it that we had, we've done a little bit of more modern country in the last two or three episodes. I think we did Eric Church.
You had Turnpike Troubadours.
Yeah
on your best of 2025.
Yeah, so maybe country is getting out of its phase.
Maybe.
You know, not to get off topic. You know, it maybe it's reminiscent of the outlaw, not that it's outlaw country, but, you know, Chet Atkins had, you know, the Nashville sound, and everybody was going to Nashville, and it was he was searching for that pop, you know, crossover hit. And it took Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings saying, you know what, we'll just go record in Texas and we'll make our own music. And mm-hmm. the outlaw deal was born. Maybe we've finally got some artists that are going to, you know,
yeah,
put their boots in the ground and say, no, we're going to tell stories again. That would be great.
Except this is from 2011. That's 15 years
well,
ago.
Yeah, but I mean, well, but to be fair, I mean, Zach Brown Band's still mm-hmm. plugging along. And really, this trend started in 2000, I would say. Yeah, it got really bad early 2000s.
The bro country type stuff?
Yeah. You know, the pop yeah. country, the bro country got real bad.
Mid to late 2000s, probably.
Yeah. But, you know, the pop country where everybody was trying to be pop country really, really kind of got started in the late 90s, and then it got out of control in the early 2000s. So, but, all right, good selection. Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go rock and roll.
I bet I know what it is.
I bet you
I
do.
I bet I do, too.
Foreigner, Cold as Ice. Obviously, we're using ice as a metaphor here, but number one, I really like Foreigner, and unfortunately, Sean is not with us here today. I know he likes Lou Gramm like I like Lou Gramm as a vocalist. So thanks to Mark, by the way, who is guest producing this episode. Thanks for stepping in. I think Sean's at the vet. Not Sean's at the vet. Sean is taking a pet to the vet.
Our cat Jeremy is.
But I know he's a big Lou Gramm fan, as am I, and so I hate that he's missing this one. But this song has a little bit of everything, right? Awesome little piano introduction, good guitar solo, you know, really good harmonies. Foreigner got some good harmonies, man. You know. And then of course, Lou Gramm. And then, of course, it is cold, right? I mean, in fact, the song is cold as ice. It doesn't get much colder.
I see what you're doing. You're setting yourself up.
The most cold.
Yeah.
The question is, how much more cold could it be?
None more cold.
None more cold.
It could be none more cold. It was a big hit, number six in the U.S. This is on the debut album for Foreigner, which was called Foreigner. They did not get super. but they had a pretty good 1-2 punch to start their track. Their first two tracks on their first album, Feels Like the First Time and Cold as Ice. That's a yeah. pretty good start to a career right there. The album itself did extremely well, several times platinum, has incredible, you know, on allmusic.com, a really high rating overall as an album. back in 1977. And, you know, of course, they're one of the bands that made that transition into the 80s and had a pretty good 70s and 80s. And 80s was 1980 kind of seemed like a breaking point for a lot of people, too. Like, there were 70s bands and there were 80s bands. Foreigner was one that was able to kind of bridge the gap a little bit there. But I had an opportunity. I love Foreigner. Foreigner is one of my favorite bands. Had an opportunity to stick them on the list. And this is one of my favorite songs anyway.
They like a temperature song.
Huh?
They like a temperature.
Hot-Blooded is my favorite Foreigner song. But then I really like, you know, like, and then Jukebox Hero is like one of my guilty pleasures.
Why guilty pleasure?
Yeah. Oh, some people think it's kind of corny, I think.
It is corny a little bit.
You know. Standing in the rain.
Dum, 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 dum. His voice is very theatrical.
Yeah.
So.
But he's good, dude.
He is good.
He's good.
Maybe not as good as Paul Rogers, but he's good. That's mine and Sean's big debate. Who's a better singer, Lou Gramm or Paul Rogers?
Maybe that should be one of our episodes, like duke it out between.
Yeah, a bracket.
Well, not between just singer, but like each round, instead of us drafting, be like you have to decide between the lead singers of the band, like Hagar, Lee Roth, these two, anybody who had multiple. Yeah.
Interesting.
A versus episode.
I like it.
They a lot of similar qualities.
They do have similar qualities. I think that's why they get compared so much is because they...
And here's like, I like, what I would say is I like the harmonies and the songwriting more from Foreigner, but I think Bad Company better. I feel like they got better instrumentalist. I like their sound.
Yeah, the groove is better.
Better.
Yeah.
I feel like I probably like more Foreigner songs.
Foreigner's maybe a little bit more polished. Bad Company's kind of got a little bit more grit.
Maybe. I like them
but
both.
But at the same time, I could hear Foreigner singing Bad Company. 100%.
Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
There's some soul in both of their voices. Yep. Anyway.
But anyway, Cold as Ice.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. My first pick is... I wouldn't even say it's cold adjacent. I mean, because the first line, let's listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
Led Zeppelin 3, 1970, written while they were on... is you good? We lost him. It was written while they were on a tour of Iceland.
Oh, which is not...
Well, I had to look up a little bit about Iceland, because I've always heard that, like...
Iceland is green, Greenland is Iceland.
Yeah. But it is, like... A polar climate in some seasons, or I don't know a whole lot about Iceland.
Cold there though.
Yeah, it does get cold there. And it's it is very influenced by Norse mythology. So
it's about Vikings.
Vikings, yeah.
It's definitely
it's
cold.
They were actually guests of the government of Iceland on a cultural mission when they wrote the song.
Oh.
What was their cultural mission?
I don't know. It
had to do with trout.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Speaking of this song, which their biography, Hammer of the Gods, is pulled from the lyrics of this song. I highly suggest you read it because we're not going to tell any of the stories from it on this podcast. But it's interesting. It depicts Viking long ships arriving on a new shore, conquering and claiming it. And it was really a metaphor for their own journey and their musical dominance in America. It's a little bit self-important maybe, but, you know, it's a bit, some grandiose thinking, but,
And we're not going to get into the stories, but what I would say is Led Zeppelin walked so that Motley Crue could run. Right. That's what we'll say.
Do you feel that Motley Crue was running as compared to that was...
When
I don't know which one would be more
It was
extreme.
A trout.
It was a trout?
It was a trout.
Oh, okay.
I think, you know, it got... the story, maybe in the book, was written as a shark, and it got corrected.
It's been many years since I've read that book.
It was actually a trout.
It is a very good book. Anyway, so it reached number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100, which it's crazy how as legendary as Led Zeppelin is, you know, their chart performance not great. You know,
Well, gosh, so many of their songs are not really radio friendly. Like just
not
so
radio,
long.
Not
so
radio long. Friendly, and their titles are never in the song.
Yeah.
Somebody said when I was doing research on this, they were looking at this song and all they did was tap in,
Yeah. And they found
how
it.
Do you know?
You know. But
you know, how are you going to, how do you look up Misty Mountain Hop?
Right.
If you don't know that's the title of the song.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of their songs, you know, Black Dog.
Yeah.
No mention of it at all.
Cashmere.
Yeah.
Stairway to Heaven is actually.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, most of their, I can't think. More of their songs.
Than the average bear, for sure.
Then mm-hmm. The titles are not mentioned in the hook at all. But so it was in the top 20 on 15 other worldwide charts. It was a global hit, and it did reach number one in 2017 on digital sales. It charted after the Thor movie.
Yep.
Used it. So I wouldn't say this is cold adjacent. I would say that this is, I mean, it's the very first line for crying out loud.
Vikings are cold. Yep. And we're Vikings, which we found out season four. We found that out in season four. Also, here's a little bit of history that it's not history, it's geography that I didn't know. You know, Denmark, known for their Vikings.
Yeah.
The Danes.
Mm-hmm.
It does not snow much in Denmark. I thought it snowed a ton in Denmark. But come to find out, I was looking and it doesn't snow that much in Denmark. There you go.
I didn't know.
I'm sorry, I have not given it a lot
really
of thought
my only
at all.
Exposure or thought of Denmark would have had to do with Shakespeare. So that's all. It wasn't snowy at all.
Well, just as, you know, historically, I know that the Danes were Vikings.
Mm.
And I just associate the Vikings, I mean, this is the reason it came up, is with lots of snow. You know, the reason that they went raiding in the first place is because they really didn't have a lot of really good farmland in Scandinavia, and so they would go raid, pillage, and buy food with the stuff that they stole. But Denmark, you know, It didn't snow as much there.
It wasn't snowing in Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, so I'm not sure.
I'm wondering if the Danish Vikings weren't just mean.
They just
wanted to go rape. Maybe.
For the raping and pillaging and I don't know.
For the kicks and the giggles.
I don't know.
Anyway, there you go. There's your social studies lesson for the
day. Thank you. All right. Well, now, I go again, and it's...
Never stop learning.
What? Lifelong learners. This song is either from 1966 or 1987, if you prefer the superior version.
Oh, I know what you're doing.
This is the superior version?
Yes, I do.
I kind of do too.
I like Simon and the G-Funk.
I'm usually not that way, but... philosophical. It's about the passage of time and missed opportunities and life changing into the winter of their life, and you're looking back on with maybe regrets and realizing that there's no way to go back, and so the winter is very metaphorical here, not literally cold, but I do prefer this version now. And you may have heard me even on this podcast talk about another Simon and Garfunkel cover that really just grinds my gears.
You don't like the Disturbed version?
I do not.
I feel like they
don't scream at me about the Sound of Silence. But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Bangles.
I kind of like that one, though. I don't like it as much as Simon and Garfunkel's.
The song, it's just, it doesn't match. The interpretation, to me, does not match the lyrical content. But I digress. Let's talk about the Bangles, because...
The Bangles. I see everything. It always sounds weird to me, because here's the deal. I get on to Mark all the time, because we are fans of the Ravens and the AFC North. And so... With our Southern accent, sometimes when we talk about our conference opponent, the Cincinnati Bengals, he says, it's the Bangles. And I'm like, that's not the same word. So now when I hear somebody say Bangles, it sounds wrong to me, even though it is actually right in the context. Like, I almost corrected you, but that you actually are using the right word.
Yes. However, it would be hilarious if, as a nod to the Bengals, if the Bengals... Their touchdown celebration was to walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah. That would.
That is exactly how one does it. We need video, don't we? Yeah. I think that, don't get me wrong, I think that Paul Simon is a phenomenal songwriter. I just think that this version was elevated and updated, and it's very complex. I mean, all those harmonies are not straightforward. I like the groove they lay down. I feel like this version is superior, and I like how it goes in that, you know, that ethereal section, and then goes back and kicks you in the teeth. I enjoy that. So.
Well, I'm a big fan of Simon and the G-Funk. Well, so.
The G-Funk.
I mean,
but the lyrical content.
Yeah.
So
it's a great song either way.
So winter in this case being a later, more reflective stage of your life.
All right. Is it my pick?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. We're going to go a little bit like, we're going to go with a winter that's actually cold. It's meant to be cold. And one of the saddest songs ever written, If We Make It Through December.
Oh, geez, dude.
By the Hag.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Got laid off down at the factory, and their timing's not the greatest in the world.
This song, this lyric right here stings.
Heaven knows I've been working hard. Wanted Christmas to be right for Daddy's girl. I don't mean to hate December. It's meant to be the happy time of year. And my little girl don't understand why Daddy can't afford no Christmas here.
Why Daddy can't afford no Christmas here.
If we make it through December.
So obviously, the whole song's, there's a lot of,
everything's gonna be all right.
Is the double entendre, did I use that right? No?
Not, well.
Double meanings?
Just usually it's, yeah.
What does it mean? What? Okay, I'm... What is
just
what is
usually
a
it's used for like a
here's our English
a euphemism
lesson.
For
oh for something
more
it's not
yeah.
that
intimate
it's
yeah.
not that yeah. it's just a metaphor there's a metaphor there's a there we'll just say that there is a okay so it has to be a euphemism for something that is a little bit more
I don't know
graphic.
That it has to be just that's how I've usually heard okay. that used.
Yeah. Well, we'll not say double entendre.
Like
maybe
it's just double meaning. Maybe that's all it means.
Yeah.
We'll just say that there's a literal meaning, and then there's a figurative.
Is that French? Are you bringing the French back?
Yeah, and I really have.
You've fallen down on your French, to be honest.
I really have no business speaking French. My wife still makes fun of me when I say entree.
Entree. Yeah, it's a word or phrase that's open to two interpretations, one of which is usually risque or indecent.
Oh, okay.
There's not a lot risque about if we make it through December, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. But there is a literal meaning. December is literally cold, and then there's the coldness of you anticipate Christmas to be a time of happiness, of joy, and but Daddy can't afford no Christmas gifts, and so you know it's obviously extremely sad. So you know you've got that part, the cold. One of the songs that I almost made my list, but it made my list, but it didn't. I don't think it's going to get drafted. Is "Cold Cold Heart" by
Elton John?
No. Hank Williams.
No.
But, you know, there's the cold heart. You can't have a cold heart literally because you'll die.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a figurative term. So.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's your science lesson for today.
Yeah.
History
we're
and
getting
science.
Them all in, aren't we? So there is that literal meaning and the metaphorical meaning. Rolling Stone ranked it number 107 on the 200 greatest country songs of all time. Which is, for a song that is pretty specific to winter slash Christmas, that's pretty impressive. I know we said no Christmas songs necessarily, but this really isn't so much a Christmas song as it is a cold song.
It's kind of like it's Die Hard, a Christmas movie.
Yeah. The Academy of Country Music, it was nominated for Single of the Year and Song of the Year, so it transcends just the time of year. Country Music Association nominated for Song of the Year, and was nominated for multiple Grammys as well. So this is a song that has a reach beyond the season, is what I would say. And definitely the whole song is using the cold as the metaphor for the real reality of dad losing his job and not being able to afford to provide Christmas for the family. So it's just a really, really good song. It's a terribly sad song, but a really, really good song. And I love Merle Haggard, so I included him on this list.
It's a good one.
Yeah. My singers are also longing for a warmer town in California.
Oh.
It's the Mamas and the Papas. California Dreamin'. Was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2001. It's often listed as one of the defining songs of the folk rock era, and a lot of music of its time was like psychedelic, leaning into those themes and that kind of extravagance and just extra everything, all the colors. This song created a mood and a heaviness that a lot of people have connected to for decades. Kind of like in colder weather, cold refers to both literal cold and emotional state of, like, they're missing the warm weather, but also they're talking about alienation and depression. And like, and he says, he stopped into a church, yes, to shelter himself from the physical cold, but also you're searching spiritually for something and you're desiring something that is missing. They're dislocated, using California as a contrast to their cold and dreary location right now. I would be safe and warm if I was in LA. So, yeah, we're talking about the temperature, but also that would indicate that they don't feel safe where they are. I'd be safe and warm there, but I'm not safe here for whatever reason, whether that's I don't feel emotionally safe, physically safe, whatever. They're in this gray place, and they're out of place. And so the song is in A minor, so that has that melancholy sound always underneath the vocals that are singing really this catchy, easy-to-sing melody, but kind of like when you put on a face and you're not okay, like up front, everything is shiny and all that stuff, but underneath there's something stirring. And then it has a really cool flute solo in it, which is unique, which adds like this wintry, eerie quality as a wind instrument. Wind is also cold.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
So it's cold in all aspects of
the
song.
What year did this come out?
Oh, girl, I don't know. I could have looked that up, but I don't have my phone with me.
I just wonder because in Hazy Shade of Winter, he also says leaves are brown. I mean, I just wonder if that was...
Leaves would be brown and wind.
I know, it's just...
Most of the time.
It's right? just an... It's just
oh, who a, did it first, you saying?
Yeah, it's just a kind of a weird...
1963, California Dreamin'.
Oh, so that came out before winter.
Well, wait a minute.
The original.
Time out.
Uh-oh.
Pump the brakes. Okay, so it was written and recorded first. Well, it was first written by John and Michelle Phillips.
Yeah.
And recorded by Barry McGuire.
Okay.
In 1963. Mm-hmm. And then the mom, I thought the Mamas and the Papas wrote it, but it is in fact a cover. And well, theirs, their,
John
theirs
and Michelle Phillips were
65.
Were two of the Mamas.
Yeah, but it was a, it was originally recorded not by the Mamas and the Papas.
Mm-hmm. But they wrote
it. But it was written.
It was written, yeah. And so, then, so maybe.
So the leaves would have been brown still in 1963.
Depends on time of year. Released in December.
When they wrote it.
Yeah, it was in December. So, yes, the leaves would have been brown.
Well, Hazy Shade of Winter didn't come out until 66. I just.
Yeah.
That's a very specific image. It was. It's just strange to hear it used.
Yeah.
In two songs.
Yeah. Oh, I get to go again.
You do.
Well, let me bring us back into the new millennium. This is definitely a product of my time. Cold by Crossfade. This song was huge. I think maybe 2004. It was either it was early 2000s. So it was one of the most played songs of the early 2000s, helping kind of define the sound of that era. This post grunge, moving into the 2000s. I don't like not really alternative rock. That would already but. This new version of alt rock. Certified platinum. It was number two on mainstream rock radio. And unlike the other two I picked, this song is not very subtle, not quiet at any point. Very direct. And this person, instead of like the cold of missing something, feeling melancholy, this song is about being numb. And it's a breakup song where this person is saying, yes, it's my fault, but there's just no hope. That's just the way I am. I regret it, but this is life. That's the way it is. And there's that sense of resignation, not really acceptance, because it's not that he likes it. It's just, you know, I mean, sorry, I guess, kind of. Yeah. And that quality was in Colder Weather where they were both saying, well, this is just the way you are. It's all right. And it didn't work out the same way for these people. So this one is about being guarded, not necessarily physically distant. They were together, but he was cold with walls up, you know. And the whole song is driving. Like, everything keeps rolling, and you just can't turn the train around. There's no, like, ramp at all. It just starts, and it's gone. So, like, kind of like he feels, it's... The thing is set in motion, and I can't change this. There's no point musically either where you can make a transition. It's also in a minor key, so that tension is there. It's bleak. Use drop tune guitars, which adds a different weight to everything. They use palm muting in the riffs, which kind of creates that sense of pressure. Like, there's a frustration where you're trying to be different, you know, but you can't really break through. And I think the intentionality of those things can be overlooked sometimes, especially in this era of music. People get caught up, you know, you can get lumped in with, and I'm not saying, this is not a knock on Nickelback. I'm saying like people's perception of Nickelback, right? Like, oh, it's just that type of rock where it's, people think it's like basic or not, not good, maybe because they don't have the same flashy quality or glittery type, sensational, you know, musicality of maybe the 80s or the 70s sometimes. But they are still doing some smart music things in the rock world. So anyway.
I like that song. I forgot about it.
You're welcome. Ben.
All right. So whenever I have an opportunity to include Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah. I know where you
are. I'm going to do it. Yeah. And the song is called Snow. Heyo. Underneath the cover of another perfect wonder where it's so white as snow. This song became Red Hot Chili Peppers' 11th number one hit on the U.S. Billboard charts, held the spot for 5 weeks, and at the time, it had set the record for the most chart toppers, on the alternative rock charts, and was the record for length of time at number one by any one song by an artist, so... I think they had probably broke their own record because Californication seemed like it was number one for 5 years. So that's obviously an exaggeration. But the album itself, 4x platinum, which is a Stadium Arcadium album, which is a really good album. It was actually Red Hot Chili Peppers' first number one album. Sold 7 million records. The album, the album has now amassed over 1 billion streams, which that's a lot of streams. And so Snow on that also hit number one as well. So the song itself, interestingly, has some interpretations that are wrong. And I thought Snow was a metaphor for cocaine. I thought the song was about a relapse, and this is what it means to a lot of people. So the question is, do songs mean what the writer wants it to mean, or does the song mean the way that it's interpreted by the listener? That's an interesting philosophical conversation to have. We don't necessarily have to have it here. But the way that some people interpret the song and what it means to them is that on the surface, drugs like cocaine, and obviously cocaine is called snow by some people. I've never done cocaine, so don't think.
We didn't ask, but
I know it kind of started to sound that way. I just want people to know I have never
obviously
done
snow
cocaine.
Is cocaine.
As we all know, people call it.
Because it apparently looks like snow. It's white, powdery substance. But some people interpret the song to mean that cocaine looks like it is pure, like it looks like it is a good time. It looks like it covers all your problems. And then the interpretation of that is those problems are still underneath. And at some point, the snow melts and you've got all the, and now you've got the drug problem on top of it. And so it's this idea that drugs trick you into thinking that there is a reality that doesn't really exist. But that is not what Red Hot Chili Peppers say. They say that what it's actually about a rebirth coming out of drug addiction. And so you're starting with a clean slate. You're starting with a blank slate. You're starting, you know, white as snow. You know, when you come out of an addiction and you're trying to stop, and Red Hot Chili Peppers' issues with drugs are fairly well documented. Mm-hmm. And so the idea, and Anthony Glass has had more than one rebirth coming out of addiction. But his is about, you know, when you come out, you've got to come in with the idea that it's a blank slate, it's a clean slate, and you got to put the past behind you and everything's white as snow. And so that's what it means for him. So it is mostly metaphorical. It's not, you know, like a literal snow, but it is obviously very... It's using snow as the metaphor. It's not just calling cocaine snow. So there's that.
Got it.
But again, you know, some of it is, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of my favorite bands. Merle Haggard's one of my favorite bands. Foreigners, that may have played into my song choices.
Maybe so.
Well, I mean, past, does it fit the cold criteria? There's not a lot else to, besides just what you like the most.
And I mean, it is a good song. I mean, I like songs that have deep meanings. This has a deep meaning. Red Hot Chili Peppers has a reputation for just being kind of this off the wall, antic driven band, but so many of their songs really require contemplation. I mean, because they do write about the real stuff that has happened to them. You know, it's not just a bunch of gobbledygook meant to sell albums. I mean, it's they write about their real struggles. They write about, you know, issues that they see with society. I mean, we've mentioned Californication. Californication is a damning critique on the state of Hollywood in California. From a band that loves Los Angeles, you know. So it's, you know, one of the, I can't remember what the, it was a, somebody did a spoof of one of their songs. It might have been Danny California, and it was just, how many times can they say California in the song? And it's, you know, but anyway, be that as it may, this is a song that, you know, it's a good song. It's got a good groove. It's easy to sing. I think that's one of the reasons I like it, is it's easy to sing. But it's one that it's worth taking some time to dissect the lyrics for yourself and then see what it means to you. I mean, that's the thing about art, whether it's musical art, visual art. The artist can have one thing in mind, but if it means something else to the viewer or the listener or whatever, then who's to say that that's not what it really means to that person? So anyway, that's my pick, Snow, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, well, my last pick is not that deep. However, it is my absolute, without question, favorite song by this artist. And it is from 1975, Born to Run, The Boss. This is 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
City bird, scooter searching for a
retelling about basically the formation of the E Street Band. And the coldness. Well, they've asked him, what does the title mean? And he said, I still have no idea what it means, but it's important. Okay. So it's important because the boss says that it is. But so, I mean, I guess we can all speculate forever about what a 10th Avenue freeze-out is. I think he just thought it sounded cool. And it is cool. And this is on, not just because he said so, but this is on Born to Run. There is quite a difference in Springsteen's with Born in the USA. That is where he entered the machine and he became, everything was very, I mean, as polished as Springsteen can be.
He's always going to be a little flat.
You know, he's, but, you know, that grunginess to his, all of his, you know, just his music in general, you know, he has that growl in his voice. He, you know, he just has that New Jersey attitude. And, but Born to Run was much more, I love the early stuff usually from artists. And, I mean, the band stayed fairly intact. And they mention, at the end, they mention when Clarence Clemons comes in to the band. And that really did, you know, make a huge difference in their sound. Stevie Van Zandt arranged all of these horn parts. And I love a good horn section. And it's just the, it's so strange to have a polished horn section in a song, but it also feels very raw and gritty, and that's not usually something, because horn sections usually have to be so precise, but then they work it into this really gritty just structure that they have. And like I say, I don't know what a 10th Avenue freeze out is, but but it looks cool. You could argue that the coldness is and laugh on the street. And it talks about rejection and forming the band. I mean, if we want to get all deep, we can. But even he doesn't know what a 10th Avenue freeze is. But
But it's important.
He said it's important.
It's important.
Yeah. And so somebody said about of the single release that to find out what Springsteen is all about on vinyl, listen to this disc. So, and Born to Run really is a great album. As a singer's, you know, person, you know, I really, he's not the best vocalist, but I don't think he's ever claimed to be that. He's, you know, he uses his music to, he has a message and he has a brand and he stays on it, you know. So for what he does and his little, you know, his corner of the music world, I think this is very representative of him. And
well, and Bruce Springsteen fans are,
he's very polarizing. Loyal. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say obnoxious, but yes. Can be. Yes, loyal is a good word. They are loyal.
Yes.
To the boss.
Yeah. I mean,
where did that nickname come from?
The boss.
I've never understood. Did he do that himself? Or
I don't know.
Because what are we the boss of?
I don't know.
It is not singing.
I do want to. There's a recent movie with, what's his name? Jeremy Allen White.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The guy from Shameless.
That played, I know who you're talking Lip about, yeah.
In Shameless. And apparently he does a fantastic job. It's a biopic,
yeah,
you know. But
did he do the singing?
Yes,
interesting.
He did. So, did you find it?
It originated from his role as a payment collector for his bandmates during their early tours.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Okay. He was the band manager and the agent, so he was the boss.
Okay.
It sounds much more intimidating than that, but I don't know.
Despite his initial discomfort with the nickname, it became widely accepted and is now synonymous with his legendary status in rock music.
He is legendary, and, you know, it...
Yeah.
And I don't know if it comes from his attitude or his politics or his, you know, he's... There really is, I mean, he has a distinct style and he has not veered off from that since...
And one of my one of my Christmas
50-year career.
One of my Christmas guilty pleasures.
Oh no! Don't tell me
Santa Claus is coming
today.
And then he cracks himself up.
Yeah.
At the end.
It's so gross.
That's a guilty pleasure. Oh, man. Like,
well, all right.
It's coming to town.
Oh gosh.
And then
I also like the Jackson 5 version, but
yeah,
which sounds like that version just sped up on a.
But the singing is a lot better,
like with the chipmunks because Michael's voice is so high.
Anyway,
well, and Michael's on pitch.
Well, right, yeah,
which helps sometimes. Yeah,
but if you just own it and don't care,
that's true.
All right, so we have 9 songs.
We do.
Right, what
down here? Okay.
Would love to.
Sorry, it's a new year. We're out of practice. Ben has drafted Cold as Ice by Foreigner, If We Make It Through December by Merle Haggard, Snow by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Heather drafted Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin, Hazy Shade of Winter by The Bangles, 10th Avenue Freeze Out by Bruce Springsteen, and I drafted Colder Weather by the Zac Brown Band, California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas, and Cold by Crossfade. What did you guys have on your list that was not drafted?
So the first one that, and I really do like this song. And I know I give Garth Brooks a lot of heck a lot of times, but his song Wolves is really good. And it's one that's not particularly well known. Because it wasn't like the massive hit single that a lot of his other ones were. But so Wolves was on my list. Is It Cold in Here?
Oh, or is it?
Or is it just you? I love Joe Diffie too. I would love to play some Joe Diffie. Cold Cold Heart by Hank Sr. I did add Baby It's Cold Outside.
Okay.
I like the Dean Martin version. And then Long December by Counting Crows.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have, Heather?
2 December songs.
She's So Cold by the Rolling Stones. White Winter Hymnal by Pentatonix.
Oh, the Pentatonix version. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Cold Hearted Snake.
Oh.
By Paula Abdul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a cold hearted snake. Oh, he's a cold.
Yeah.
He don't play by rules.
Uh-oh.
The impressions are back.
They're back. Lies. And Long Cold Winter by Cinderella.
Okay. I only had 2 that were not drafted. Stone Cold by Demi Lovato. And I also chose White Winter Hymnal, but the Fleet Foxes original.
Would you have accepted Broken Glass? Ba-dump, ba-dump, ba-dump,
ba-dump, ba-dump.
I don't know, because I do like it so much. Like, I might have been able to be swayed.
It's the stone cold Steve Austin entrance thing. But hey, we've got 9 songs, and we have to cut it from 9 to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
Yeah. Okay, so the question is going to be, we always have this conversation. Is it easier to eliminate some or just to move some over?
Ooh.
So here's the problem that we have with Hazy Shade of Winter. I had Hazy Shade of Winter on my list, but I had Simon and Garfunkel on my list.
Mm.
And I like it significantly more than the Bangles.
You didn't draft it, though.
Right. But, like, I don't know how to, like, do oh, I say, well, I had really it on my list?
Song. Yeah, you should. You should say, that's a good song. It doesn't matter. We're not talking about which version we're.
We're not. Well, we just had a whole conversation about Santa Claus coming to town.
Nobody drafted that either. We're talking about.
So, like, if you'll change it to Simon and Garfunkel, I'll have a much easier time signing off on that.
Wait.
But you like the Bangles version more.
I had the Bangles version on my
Oh, you
list.
Had the Bangles version on
Oh,
list.
It was on three.
No. No, no, no.
Lists. No, had, it was on two lists.
I had the Simon and G-Funk version on mine.
If you say G-Funk, I hate that. One more is a lot.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
The way you say that, no. I want to be clear. I'm not talking about the song. I'm talking about the way you refer.
You don't like you don't
to
like
the artist.
You don't like me calling them Simon and the G Funk.
No. Well, for one, G Funk sounds dumb, and then you say the G Funk. Like I'm going to.
Whoa, G Funk sounds dumb.
The way you say that, I hate it. I don't even care who says it. I don't care if he himself says
G-Funk
sounds dumb.
G Funk is a real thing.
It's not his name.
But not Art Garfunkel.
Yeah. It's like, and the G-Funk. Like, yeah. I'm going to the Sonic. I'm going to the Walmart, the food center.
But G-Funk is like, you know, like what you know, like Dr. Dre's.
Yeah.
G-Funk. You know, like it was his.
But
his
Art Garfunkel
is not what we are talking about. They're not related at all.
No, but it's neat to say.
It would have been funny one time.
Oh, but that's how, like, that's how I always times. Refer to them.
Paul You're, Simon and the G-Funk?
It gives me the chills.
And Garfunkel got an afro and everything.
Well,
I don't know how to move on from this part of the conversation.
Anyway, be that as it may.
So Hazy Shade of Winter's going over.
No, no well, maybe. Where was it on your list?
Eight.
Oh, maybe not.
No.
Okay. Where was I? Did not have Cold Weather by Zac Brown Band on my list.
I did not either.
That's not the same. It was a good song. I could see it moving into my top five. Cold as Ice, was that on your list anywhere?
Four.
Number two.
So it's probably going over. It was in all of our top fives. Two top twos. Immigrant Song, I had number six on my list.
Five.
Where was it on yours? Number one. Mm-hmm. It will probably go over. One, six, and five. I feel like Immigrant Song probably going over. The next pick was Hazy Shade of Winter. It was number three, but I had Simon and Garfunkel. Not the Bangles. Where was it on your list? Eight?
Eight.
Two on yours?
Three.
Three. I'm pretty sure that I'll be the only one that had If We Make It Through December on the list.
Yeah.
California Dreamin' was not on my list. Was it on your list?
Five.
That one's got a really good chance to go over. I did not have Cold by Crossfade. Did you?
No, I didn't.
I wouldn't imagine.
Did anybody have Snow?
I did six.
Six. Okay. And 10th Avenue Freeze Out. I did not have any Springsteen on my list.
Definitely not. So the ones that were on multiple lists, one, two, three, four, there are four of them. And we have four spots.
So what are the four?
California Dreamin', Immigrant Song, Snow, and Hazy Shade of Winter. If that's how we want to just do it, make it easy.
I guess
but there are some songs that I would like better than some.
I mean, I would be okay with that. I'm okay with that. If y'all are okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah, I guess you would be. Okay.
Why? Does she get all of hers then?
No. But two of the three.
Oh.
But okay. There's still another spot?
Nope. Oh. Cold as Ice already moved over.
Oh, okay.
All right, so speak. I'm writing.
Oh, okay. So just so that we're gonna Cold as Ice has already moved over.
Yep.
We're moving over Immigrant Song, Hazy Shade of Winter, California Dreamin', and Snow.
Yes.
Okay. And so then we have to rank them.
Yeah. I would say Cold as Ice probably number one.
Yeah.
I would think. Because it was on all top fives and it had a one and a two. And then it gets dicey a little bit. Where was Snow on yours?
Six. But I like it a lot.
Yeah. I had Snow four because I didn't draft Hazy Shade of Winter because you drafted Hazy Shade of Winter, but then so where do y'all want to put Hazy Shade of Winter? That's gonna be kind of the question because like
I mean, all those were on my list, but that was the lowest on my list. Out of the
Hazy songs. Shade of Winter?
Yeah.
I would put it number three because I would put Immigrant Song number two. But no, really. It was my number one.
Immigrant Song was my number six. Where was it on yours?
Five.
I think that probably averages out to be the next highest one. I have it number six, and Snow was number four. So the question really would be like, would I put? I would put Snow before Immigrant Song, but
oh,
well, I mean, I had it ranked higher. I drafted Snow, and I didn't. You know, Immigrant Song was too low.
Well, you were like, that's probably how that works out. I didn't know that was up for discussion. That I thought that was just set.
Well, is it up for discussion? Would you move Snow up?
Yeah.
So we could do Snow 2 and Immigrant Song 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lame.
And then I would put California Dreamin' above Hazy Shade of Winter.
Yeah, I would absolutely do that, yes. Thanks for participating.
Yeah, y'all let me know when... See you next year.
Well, that was easy, guys.
Always a pleasure with you two.
So, well, Heather, would you like to?
Nope.
Wow, that was, it's a lot easier with just two people participate and collude
or
with
agree.
One another,
yeah. You don't need us. You know? It's 2026. Nothing has changed, like you said.
I don't even know if I looked up. I wonder. I wish I could look. I wish
like I
could look
I wasn't
over
even
now.
In the room.
I wish I could look over and see Heather's face when Beth and I were just hammering all this out. Like, well, hey.
Nah.
So we have a top five.
Yeah, we do. All right. Our final ranking of the best cold songs. Cold as Ice by Foreigner, Snow by Red Hot Chili Peppers, Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin, California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas, and Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles.
I don't know that I've ever got one and two.
Really?
I don't want to go back and research it, but I don't know that it's ever happened. Because y'all normally don't like my picks very much.
If you pick Red Hot Chili Peppers more often, we might agree more.
I will try to do that. We'll try to do that. So, hey, we want to thank everybody for joining us on the first episode of 2026, Season 5. We ask you to go to our social media pages, hit like, share, leave us a review, all that good stuff. We can be found on YouTube, X, Facebook, Instagram. And that's it.
Yeah. Right? You may have to look. We can be found.
But we are there.
Where's Waldo?
That's one thing we need to, that needs to be our New Year's resolution. Yeah. To switch it up in 2026 and be more present on the
social. On the social media. Yeah, it's just a lot of work.
It is, and we all have like real jobs.
Yeah.
So if you guys would just, you know, make it to where at least one of us doesn't have to, and then that can be our job.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be super.
Yeah, yeah. So that would require y'all to share.
My Venmo is. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe we ought to start that coffee thing, let people buy us coffee.
What? Huh? What's that?
They don't literally buy you coffee, but it's like like the price of a cup of coffee. You set up this deal, and they can send you like $1.30 or whatever, little tiny micro amounts, and then you know
that has always been Mark's his big idea is I just have to get 1 million people to give me $1.
Right. But here's the thing, though. It's not that simple. You have to save that dollar in a special fund.
Yes, yes.
Because if somebody just gives me $1 or just 10 people give me $1 and I've got $10 towards my million,
yeah.
I don't. What I have is McDonald's. If 10 people give me $1, I do not have 10 towards a million. Yeah. I've got a Big Mac and fries. That's what I've got.
Maybe.
So I need what Al Gore called a lockbox.
Oh, wow. That's a throwback.
Yeah. But I need a special fund when people give me the dollar towards a million.
That you can't touch.
That I can't touch until it hits a million.
If you give us $1, we promise we'll put it back.
Yep.
Towards the million. And we'll remember. All million of you.
Yeah, so hey, by the way, yeah, just like, share, social media. Leave us a good review. We need a lot more reviews. We need a lot more reviews. If you could help us out with that.
I mean, stars. We need stars.
Stars. 5 stars. Hey, these guys are funny. They're hilarious. Yeah. And that's it. That's all you got to
do. Or leave the 5 stars and rip us a new one. It doesn't really matter. Right. Just leave the five stars.
Yeah. And if you find it in your heart to share an episode that you like on your social media, please do that. You know, spread us out. Spread us around a little bit. And we thank you. We look forward to spending 2026 with you. Have a wonderful, happy new year. And listen to these cold songs during this cold season. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining us on the Music List Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. She almost had it.